You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And on the line, we have none other than Geneva AM, Alexander Masters.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. You've released your album, Picky Picky, and it's on vinyl and everything.
I know. I've always wanted to hold it in my hands.
Yeah.
It was a real dream, like to hold one copy.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, I've got hundreds of others of these as well. And they're all finding their homes now, and it's really cool to see it, you know, moving out into the world, which is quite insane to
that
think
is
about.
Beautiful. That is. Yeah. There is something about it being a taonga, like an object that is makes you listen to music differently because you listen to the whole thing when you have vinyl. And it's not like I'm a boomer vinyl dickhead. There's something about having.
You can reframe it. You can reframe it.
I could
boomer
reframe it.
Vinyl dickhead would be a really great.
Cough. And apologies. I mean, I am, but also not that I'm a boomer. But there is something about having this physical thing that you just end up putting the whole thing on, and you listen to it and you treasure it in a different way than you do abstract kind of floating medium, I guess, that MP3s tend to be.
Yeah, hard out. And it's like a miracle, you know, you're like this little needle is like grooving into this like chasm.
Yeah.
I don't know how, you know, when you look at it under a microscope, it looks like the Grand Canyon or something, and it's just.
And that produces sound. It's nuts, eh?
Yeah, and then I'm like, what if you put a needle in the actual Grand Canyon or like other waterways? Like, does it do the same thing?
Whoa.
You know? Okay. I know.
Yeah.
It's meta.
Well, congratulations anyway. The singles are coming out kind of thick and fast. Was it like that making it, or was it a little bit more of a labored process? What was easier, giving birth to your son or giving birth to this?
Oh my gosh. I would say this was probably easier than giving birth to my son.
Okay.
But also, yeah, but there's actually like a lot of parallels. Like there's a gestation period where you're like, is it gonna, should I eat ham? Should I eat sushi? I don't know. You know, you kind of go into this state where you're like, no, I've got to like focus on making this baby like from an embryo into something else, and you know, you cry a lot and you sleep a lot and you eat a lot, like very similar to pregnancy.
Interesting.
You get mad, you know,
at yourself.
you throw your shit around. And then you make friends with everyone again, and you make this beautiful baby, and everyone's so happy. But actually, the process of making both things was never really like an angry or sad experience. It was really like full of a lot of joy and a lot of really fun happenings, like that wouldn't have happened without that like serendipity. So I guess I do like take my experience giving birth along with me, you know, making things now, because it's you really have to concentrate on keeping things like nice and calm and steady.
Yeah.
And when things don't particularly go your way, you have to like act in a accordingly. Like you can't just like give up, you know? I've always found that making the music is really easy. And I've always got like a comms and marketing background, so I love a little spreadsheet, and I love dates, and I love, you know, making press releases and stuff. But the hardest thing for me is actually music videos,
right?
Because it's a visual depiction of the song, and I don't really see it as like a visual thing. Like
interesting
initially, like I'm not like, oh, I'm gonna make the song, and this is the music video. Like it's this like ongoing conversation that I have to have with another creator, who is thinking in a visual way, you know, and trying to interpret like what that might look like. So both the music videos like were a real labor of love, but also took like all of these incredible people who just like showed up on the day to like make it happen.
It's very collaborative.
And it's like a whole other way of doing things. So I was producing that as well as the kind of music side of things. And it just kind of builds and builds and builds. Yep. And then here we are. We got Picky Picky now. It's alive.
It's alive.
Oh my God. And then people ask you if you want to make a new one and you're like, but I've just given birth.
Yeah, calm down.
What?
And then you got to talk about it, right?
I love talking about it.
Yeah, well, that's good. So I've read that the title translates to ancestor tree, and you've elaborated more and said that it's the seeds of your ancestors. How did that title encapsulate what it is that you wanted to say in the album?
For Te Puna Rākau?
I thought that was Piki Piki. I thought that was
So Te Puna Rākau is ancestor tree, and then Piki Piki is to ascend or like climb up. So like Piki is like to climb up. And
cool.
And so Te Puna Rākau is like about being, you know, part of the long lineage of ours, you know, ancestor cycle. And one day we're going to be ancestors, and we should look forward to the future and look forward to not dying, but like kind of, but like, you know, we're part of something a lot bigger, and that's really special and very cool. And we're going to be looking after our descendants one day. And so we're the seeds of our ancestors. And then Piki Piki as concept. Is like, I guess I had to like climb over a lot of obstacles over the last 5 years. It was 6 years, even, you know, everyone did. I mean, COVID happened. Mm-hmm. There were also these like huge worldwide movements around like BLM, Gaza, and even like things like the mandate and how there was that occupation of, you know, the grounds and how many people were affected by the mandate. Like, I did get the jab, right? But I don't necessarily agree with like that type of way of going about it. And it really upset a lot of people, and it really changed the framework of our country. And I hope I'm not trying to like annoying anyone by saying that, but like,
there was a lot of divisiveness
and I wanted to bring everyone back together because of that division. And so I added songs like Tūtina Mai Ngā Iwi, things that we all know. And it's about kotahitanga, because guess what, everyone? It doesn't matter if you vote whatever. Like, so long as you're nice to each other and you're kind to each other, that should really be the main thing. Like, I don't care if you got jabbed or not. I don't care if you, like, you know, whatever. But, like, if you're kind and because whatever's coming next, none of us have control over, and it is global warming. So, you know. Yeah. We have to look after each other, and we have to start now. And that's what this album is really about, is just everybody come together, let's get over these obstacles together, and let's like think big and dream big. And why not? Like, we're from this small country that is always made up to be so small, but we always make such a huge impact on an international stage. Like, why don't we just keep doing that? That's pretty sick.
That's awesome.
Let's go.
You've got a you did an indie rock version of Pōkerekereana. What made you decide to take that tangent with it? Like, I mean, you were working with some awesome wahine like Ruby Walsh, Fiona Campbell, Lani Perkins. What made you like decide to like do an indie rock version of that particular track?
So we've got a punk lineage in this song. Like, we've got Fiona Campbell from the Vivian Girls. We've got Lani Perkins from Element of P. And we've got Ruby Walsh, who's not actually really, it's more like different, but like, you know, part of this like full kind of spectrum of rock in New Zealand. And I just wanted to bring them in for the day as a way of like creating my own dream, which was like to be in a cool band for a day. And yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, and I was thinking about Poor Kari Kariana, and I thought the lyrics were so, so sad. And I was like, man, it would be cool if we made like an emo kind of inspired indie vibe for this. And so Ruby got to work on an arrangement after I sent like this really weird demo I made on GarageBand. Ruby's like, far more talented with that type of thing. But we listened to like a lot of emo rock and just kind of made this like mutual playlist and kind of listened through it. And then they came up with this incredible arrangement and we bashed it out in a day. And the lyrics are about this guy who's writing a letter to a woman that was his fiance, but they're now breaking up, and he is taking off his ring and he's putting it in the envelope to send back to her. And he's saying like, you know, I don't even miss you. Like, no, like I'm, you know, trying to take control. Yep. But then at the end, he's just like, I will always love you.
Yeah. Right. Oh, wow. I did not know that that's what that song was about actually.
Yeah. And the chorus like, it's like, girl, come back to me. Please return to me. My heart is dying from loving you.
Jesus. Okay.
That is emo, my friend.
Yeah, that is so 100% emo.
And actually, that song was included in a runway show I was in last night for a retrospective. That's so cool. That was styled by none other than the amazing Dan Auer. So yeah, I it really made it to the big stage.
That's exciting.
And that really buzzed me out.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, there's something about the spectacle of a fashion show, that is just it takes music into a really different realm. It's cool.
They got me in silks and furs. Honestly, it was crazy.
I have seen you in silk before and it's delightful.
I love it. I love to be in silk. I perform in silk only.
Because it breathes.
It breathes, it's shiny, and when you put it on, you're done.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
When did you start incorporating te reo into your music? You sort of started with soccer practice, eh? I remember when you did that cover of Moana. For a Silver Scroll. Had you started incorporating reo into your music before that, or was that a spur?
I did this really sparse cover of Morven Simon's Piri Ponotia, and it's that track, Amine. I don't know if you've heard it, but it's just me saying, taking out pieces of the lyrics and putting it back in.
I love
and
that track.
And at the time... Yeah, me too. But at the time, I felt like I hadn't really been in touch with my reo for like a couple of years outside of school.
Yeah.
Like quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I'm losing it. What the fuck? Mm. And so I was like, well, hell no, don't do that. And so that was kind of my way of like introducing it back in and being like, you got to keep repeating these things because that's like, the ethos of like of you know what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
And so I've been slowly like reclaiming it back through waiata, and then when I was confident enough I could write my own waiata, and then I got to work with Mātanga Reo, who made it even meaner, and introduced all of these other words to it, and so now I can talk to my son and he can talk back to me. And he'll just, like, never know what it's like to lose it or to not have someone to bounce off like I did. Like, my mum did her best, but she didn't really know how to speak it. And so when you don't have it at home, you lose it.
And I
was flatting and I was like, I don't know what's up. I don't know anything. Because there's two different worlds and it doesn't mean like that, but I'm kind of trying to like bridge it back together again.
That's awesome. Was your dad fluent, or was he part of that generation that was separated from
big time?
So
he was taken by the state, and I know, and it wasn't great, and it was really bad, and he ended up living on the streets, and it was not good. And there's this whole generation of people who are always going to be a younger version of themselves, and now they're kind of reaching their 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Some of them have made it that far. Like heaps of them passed away, unfortunately, from so many things.
Mm-hmm.
But he's one of them, and he's always like, I'm indestructible. And he kind of is. He's like kind of invincible, like in that way. And he ended up learning it, you know, in university as an adult, and learning whakaero, so like learning how to carve and learning about like heaps of different things. And my uncle did the same thing, and he learnt our pepeha from Ngāti Ruapani. And that's what I put in urban planning, because I wanted to make like a record of that for our next generation, so they never have to ask any questions about it, because it was such a huge mystery. Like none of us knew.
And so
that whole generation, it's like, but we're all trying to like piece it all back together again, and also raise our own families. And also look after these parents who, like, some of them weren't really parents at all.
Because of the trauma.
They were there.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine. Like, I don't mind. Like, I still love my father a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, like, you always have to come with a disclaimer about, like, why queer, you know? And you're like, well, I grew up away from it because I didn't know what it was.
So many people have experienced that, and various different generations of it. Like all of my Māori friends have had that same journey where
It's the story of New Zealand, and that's how New Zealand gets established in place of Aotearoa, is that you erase an entire people. But the problem is that you can't do that, and it doesn't work, and really colonialism is just a blip. And people like me are here to remind everyone that that's the case, and that we all should just be working together and having a really fun time, like not paying for natural resources and just enjoying our freaking lives.
Hells yes.
You know?
Okay.
You
know? That is the perfect sign off, Geneva. That is perfect. I'm going to play Piki Piki. Thank you so much for talking to us. Love it. I'm so glad that the album is out there. Thanks so much. I will play that now. Thanks.
Piki piki, I te maunga teitei, kia mauri a te hā. Hiki hiki, I ngā manu au te, pupuhi a te hā.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.